Great to be at Maywood today. Great to be worshiping with people that are excited and look around and see a lot of awesome stories as we look around this room today. So let me pray and we'll keep going. God, I thank you that you give new life. We look around this room today, we see a lot of new life that you have given. God, I know there's a lot of needs in this room, but God, we're here today to celebrate how good you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to be talking about celebration a lot. And when I hear celebration, one of the things I think about here recently, the last couple of years, is something you guys probably remember. So the Royals, yeah. And if you're a Royals fan, you can't forget this because it only comes around every 30 years or so in my experience. So it's pretty, so we made a big deal out of it, though. We shut down the whole city. I mean, that's this little picture at the bottom that's all blue. My wife and I and Bryce and several others were down there, and it was just shoulder-to-shoulder craziness because the whole city shut down to celebrate that we had won a championship, you know, and school was canceled and everything. Let's take a day and celebrate is what Kansas City thought. So for most of us in our lives, we don't have those moments where we say, oh, I did something great happened, and I'm going to stop and celebrate. We don't have an end to our season where we reflect normally. So most of us, even if something really big happens, even if we hit some big milestone, a big miracle happens even in our life, a lot of us don't stop and celebrate. We've got kind of this look on our face of, okay, well, maybe we got one thing done, but there's so many other things to get done. And so we just, maybe we're like, thank you, God, for doing that, and then we just move on. And there's never a big party thrown, there's never a bunch of food provided or anything, there's never any big moment. I don't know what just happened, but so today, though, we're going to be talking about why celebration is so important, and the reason we're talking about that is because God's done something really big here at Maywood. So if I skip ahead here, just a couple slides to June of 2014. If you were here at Maywood, and if you read the bulletin, you might remember this little symbol that Melissa made for us about God is building restoration. And so June of 2014, the situation we were facing was we had a lot of cracks in the building, in the brickwork, and I learned a new word in 2014 called tuck pointing that I'd not heard before. And so I just thought brick lasted forever, which obviously isn't true. So tuck point is when you repair all that mortar and brickwork. So the building needed it. We actually had a church here in Independence that was in need of tuck pointing work just, I think, in 2013.
Independence Avenue. And you might know that down Independence Avenue and Benton, I believe. And it was there with 100 kids inside. They hadn't taken care of the tuck pointing. The water got in the walls, and it fell with kids inside. Thank God nobody got hurt. But if you drive by there now, it's just a pile of dirt. They've just cleaned the place out. So we found out, in fact, when Jake's mic went off, I thought, well, it was a brick that fell, you know. But it wasn't. We've been working on them.
Yeah, so we knew, okay, we can't let the building literally fall apart. So how much is that going to cost? Well, we're blessed to have Earl as the head of our trustees, who has a lot of experience working on giant construction projects. So he began to get bids for us. And grand total, it was going to run well over $300,000. And we thought, how on earth are we ever, as a group, going to be able to afford that? And there was a lot of talk at the time about maybe we have to take out a loan. Maywood's been debt-free for a long time, and we really appreciate that people went before us, paid off all of our debt. We thought maybe there's no other way. We talked about it. We really didn't come up with a great solution other than to ask and then to begin to pray. And so we had this big campaign. People started giving every week. And we made a big, big push, and we divided it into phases. And we paid for that first phase. And it felt like when that first of four phases was done, it felt like, oh, wow, it was awesome that we were able to accomplish it. But at the same time, I thought, how are we ever going to do the other three phases? We felt like we'd gone to the well and kind of pulled everything out of the well that was there. So we thought, what's going to happen? And we just continued to pray. And we talked about it a little bit, but God continued to provide for us. And so we can say that today all of those four phases have been paid for. They're getting worked on currently, but we've got all the money to pay for the last couple phases. So that's all new windows throughout the building. And all the tuck pointing is being finished here. It should be done in a couple more weeks, actually. So that's an incredible thing that God has done for us. You remember we were praying just this last Easter, we were praying that God would provide for our building is one of the things that we talked about. So, Bob, talk to us about a few of the stories. I know there's a lot of stories about people who gave, but God worked through a lot of people here. Tell us about a few of them.
Well, when you applauded just a second ago, you applauded for yourselves because you were the ones who made this happen. And there was giving that started off small and went from small to big, but every little piece helped. So I want to tell two, maybe three really quick stories. First of all, Earl and Joan Williamson, hours and hours and hours of work, time, effort, expertise, and he also, when he came, didn't just leave his pocketbook at home. I'm not going to get into that because he'll hurt me later on, but he has been a huge help, and we thank him for that. Amen. I'll leave a couple of names out. I was very moved when I heard that a lady had planned to remodel her house, and instead of remodeling her house, she took the money for the house remodel, and she gave it to remodeling the Church of God. That's huge. John Coughlin is one of our long-term members. He's now watching church from heaven, and John has been faithful all his life, never had a giant paying job, lived modestly with his family. He was one of our deacons. If you were in the hospital and you were one of his people that he was looking after, you were guaranteed to get a visit. One of those kind of guys, raised a wonderful family to kids and grandkids and great-grandkids who are touched by the Lord. When John died, he asked his family to include Maywood Baptist in some of his inheritance. And so we have inherited some of that. There's a lady, and I want to just talk about a couple of these people because it's really important. A lady named Louise Hobson. And Louise didn't really come to Maywood for a long time. She was a woman in ministry before women ever went in ministry. She went to seminary, got a degree, wrote Sunday school literature for our Sunday school board, was a minister to children over at Rockwood Church, one of our neighboring churches. And then when she finally retired, she came to Maywood and served children. And she's somebody that nobody would mention, that we wouldn't see her. She wouldn't get a microphone. She wouldn't be on the platform. She's just one of those invisible people that God has millions of all around the world. And so when you think about yourself, don't ever count yourself out. If God puts something in your heart, if God gives you a desire, if he gives you a dream, don't say, well, I can't do this. Because little ladies like Louise Hobson did, she came here when she finally kind of got in some Alzheimer's or dementia working and she couldn't work with kids. She would go across the hall into the library and she'd move books around and she'd catalog them. And Penny and Melissa took wonderful care of her and treated her almost like a mom. And so Louise died a little while back and I did her funeral. And not too long ago, I got a letter from her attorney. And he said she wants your church to have a third of her entire estate. I just mentioned that to say because Louise and John Coffer are paying for phase four. And that's their gift to us, and the majority of us don't know them. Amen. The majority of us don't know them. We haven't seen them. Some of us do, but the majority of us don't. But they are great people, but you are a great person. Don't when you go home and look in the mirror, say, you know, I'm one of those. And I may be invisible in this world, but I'm not invisible in the kingdom of God, okay? And I have a role to play. So I'm shaking my finger at you, saying, come on, all right, let's do that.
So if you're in the room today and you feel like there's something impossible ahead of you that needs to get done, I mean, just look at this method that we've had. We came together, we asked for help, but then we also prayed, and God has provided so generously. God can do so many miracles, and there's a lot of miracles here. We're talking about the building today, but the building's not the most important part of Maywood at all. I do want to touch base in the Bible here for a minute. This week I've been thinking about Nehemiah a lot. Nehemiah is a book of the Bible about a community of people that want to follow God who have a big construction project ahead of them. So the people in Jerusalem a long time ago, they needed a wall for their city. City needed the wall repaired, and so they all banded together against a whole bunch of odds, and they built that wall. When it got done, though, there was a whole other list of problems they had to solve. But that community in chapter 8, if you want to read that chapter, they decide, even though we haven't figured everything out or solved everything, we're going to take a chance to celebrate. And one of the ways they got to, when they all got together, they looked at a document from their community that was really old. It's actually part of the Old Testament. And they read it together. And as we were reading about this and talking about it, there was still more work going on in the building. And our construction crew found a document from Maywood's past, okay? So we found, as Earl is coming up here, we found a time capsule from Maywood. In 1955, the people of Maywood had put together a copper box. We've got it right here. Single piece of copper they'd folded together and soldered together. And so Earl, Bryce is going to be doing a little bit of filming. Earl and Amy's going to take some pictures. Earl went ahead and opened the box earlier this week and kind of peeked into it a little bit, but we actually, I wanted to save it for Sunday and as a church get a chance to look at it all together, okay? So Earl is going to open it up and start talking to us a little bit about what is in this time capsule from 1955.
As a song... As the song said a while ago, I'm overwhelmed. This Maywood Baptist Church, this congregation, just are so blessed. Thank you, Christ. Thank you. To make a long story short, I didn't sleep very good last night. It's been a long week. We brought this out on Tuesday, and it's been a long week. And I didn't sleep last night because I had a dream that when we opened this up today, it all disintegrated. And I said, oh, help me. I couldn't get here fast enough this morning. I didn't turn the furnaces on this morning. I come here first. But anyway, it's make a long story short. The two guys, Ryan and RJ, I don't know whether they're here or not. They said they'd try to be here. When I mentioned to them that Farrell and I took out a cornerstone on the east side, and when we found this web of the beam, I said, oh man, it's got to be in the web around the corner. But we decided not to take out that cornerstone because it probably twice as heavy as the other one. It was heavy. But anyway, when I told them, just take out one more block, guys. And when I told them what I was after, man, they really got excited. They got the chip and hammer out because this thing was covered in mortar because it'd been there through the whole process. They chipped it out and just get out of my way. We're excited. You know, let's go, go, go. But anyway, here it is. It's a copper box. It's welded all the way around. I mean soldered, I'm sorry. And the first thing I run into here is a bulletin, Maywood Baptist Church, July the 31st, 1955. David Hawes, pastor. So that tells me that they put it in there when they started construction of the building because it was dedicated in 58. The next thing we got here is a roll. Be it known that these whole names appear below have by their attendance and gifts made possible the building to the glory of God. Done this day in the setting of this stone, Sunday, July the 31st, 1955. And there's a list, folks. And I imagine there's a lot of people in here that's on that list. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, back in the 50s, we had a campaign. You buy a brick, 10 cents to build a building. Here is a sheet that's Junior Boys Brick, 1951. There's a piece of paper here. I remember what it looked like. Sorry. It's got squares that look like brick. You donate a dime and you signed your name. That's probably a lot of people in here have got their signatures on this. Thank you.
Well, and there's some little Earl W's on some of those.
I'm excited. Here's another sheet of the same thing. We're going to take a picture of all these, and I anticipate putting all this back in a new time capsule. If that's a set, yep. Boy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Here's an article in the paper. Stone to be laid, Maywood Baptist Church, Bible, School, Services, Set. There's a bunch of names on here. There's no date, so I anticipate it's that same Sunday. Here's another Maywood Baptist Church. Alvin G. Hawes, pastor, Sunday school attendance of 303. We have two men's classes, young men, older men. Both are beginning to take on new life. Still below our average attendance, but picking up. BYPU, intermediate and senior, well attended. Morning theme, a conversation with a dollar. Evening on an object sermon for adults. Our cornerstone will take place next Sunday afternoon, 2:30 o'clock. So this must have been the Sunday before the 31st. And down at the bottom it says, this was in the Word and Way, September 18th, 1924. So this was probably the cornerstone at the church at 15th and Northern. This is a program. It shows you the picture of the church, shows excavating. Down in here for you guys that don't know, this is the church at 15th and Northern. It was a wood building. We marched down Northern over here to this church that day. Thank you, Lord. I'm like a little kid.
Yeah, what Earl was talking about there, the Sunday that they moved to this building, the whole church started at their old building, and the whole church walked here together.
Okay, this is Junior Girls 1951 bricks and their signatures. More Junior Girls bricks 1951. Here's bond purchases, 164 bonds, and the people that bought bonds, it looks like. Man, a lot of names on there, a lot of names. A dream come true, Maywood Baptist Church. 20 years ago, the people of Maywood Baptist Church began to dream and plan for the time when they could worship God and study His Word in a building adequate for their needs. Now this dream becomes reality in the construction of a building pictured on the front of the folder, which is this building, and on and on and on. So these will be displayed by picture or something so you could read them. We don't want to take up, but thank you, Lord. Oh, we got a problem here. Got a little deterioration.
1924.
Sunday, September the 21st, 1924. This is a list of members of the church pledging to following month amounts to meet the monthly payment of the church to be a Kansas City Baptist Servings and Loan Association. And it was for $8,000, 1924. So it's people like you that we're here today. The dedication, just overwhelming. Thank you, and have a blessed day. This is a beautiful day.
Yes. That last piece of paper from the 20s that Earl was reading from, a lot of those monthly commitments, the top one, I think, was like 36 cents a month, and then it's dollars, you know, there's 50 cents a month, things like that. But people were giving, starting in 1924, for this building to be made. You know, earlier I mentioned Nehemiah, and when they got together and they read a document from their past, from their distant past, the people started to get sad at first, if you read in chapter 8. They felt like, we don't really live up to what we're supposed to be. And then Nehemiah had this comment for him. As I read it, I thought, I need to share this with you guys. So this is chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And as I read that, I thought, today is a day that we should be celebrating here at Maywood. What God has done in our past, how God's provided for us, and it's a day to mark that and to celebrate. When we think about the building that was done, this is a picture Jerry put, our church historian, up on a Facebook group about the groundbreaking of this building in 1951, and there's a picture of the steel superstructure that's still here being put up. But I also was able to find this picture that Jerry had. This is Maywood people just the year after that box was put together at a retreat. So these are some Maywood folks in 1956. And that's really the heart of who put this box together. The building was only ever a dream to just have a place that we could meet at to continue to reach out to this community. And so even though Maywood in 1956 looked different than it does today, or it looked different in 1924 when they started putting money towards this building, Bob, tell us a little bit about Maywood's history, about what Maywood's been about.
Okay. Just, and we need to know that just like the building from the ground up is built on a really good foundation, what we're doing today is built on a really good foundation. And there are people who over a century, you hear that? A century, they have invested their energy, their life, their time, their money, into what we're getting to live in now, okay? And so we were started by First Baptist of Independence because they thought this western part of town needed to have a church. And then we, in turn, have started some other churches in similar fashion. And now we come down to where we are, and I really want to emphasize that. I say this so much, but y'all, please don't miss it. You are the hope of Western Independence. There are other churches here who are doing the same thing, but you are in some ways incredibly suited to minister to this community. And I say it a lot. When they look at me, they think, oh, he's just like a salesman. You know, that's his job. He gets paid to do this. When they look at you, they think you're a satisfied customer, okay? And so you're able to take a message to somebody and to assist somebody to meet the Lord. And I picked on Brian Glover in the early service. I'll get you again. Brian went with Scott Stoner and a bunch of folks to a homeless camp. He ran into a guy at a homeless camp who had, when Brian was homeless, had brought him a bologna sandwich. And that was a real pivotal point in Brian's life. He said, you know, this was a turning point. Well, Brian was able to take him food this last week because that guy's back living in a homeless camp. And so what is evangelism? Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where the bread is, okay? And the truth is we're all in that category. We're all people who need desperately what God can do in our lives so that we can tell somebody else what God can do in their lives. And you all are perfectly suited, and Jake and Wayne and I, we're coaching you to do that, all right? But you are perfectly suited to do that, and we are charged up that that's possible, okay? So that's sort of our history, and, you know, I was shaking my finger at you a minute ago because you've got a tremendous role, and please do not sell yourself short. You have a great role to play, and don't say, well, I'm just this. No, you're not just this. You are somebody that God has called and God has introduced you to Jesus Christ, and he lives in your life, and there's somebody out there that you can make a difference in their life. And so I don't know if I can say it any stronger than that. Let's go do that. All right, Jake?
Yeah, it's awesome to hear Maywood's history and to see Maywood today and to see that God's blessed us and that God's making us strong, but to see that where that strength has come from, that a lot of other people have sacrificed to give us this place. And it's not about this building. You know, 100 years from now, it's not whether this building is going to be here or not, but it's whether we're going to hand off the baton to other people to continue to reach out to this community. And not that Maywood would get gigantic, but that we would continue to be the type of place that reaches our community for Jesus. We'd be the type of place that starts other communities following Jesus. Today, you know, our big takeaway in this service is to celebrate what God's doing for us as a whole big church. But for those guys that are in my small group, they know I'm always real pushy about, like, let's get specific. Let's figure out what we're going to do this next week to respond to Jesus. I feel like if we take a little step with Jesus this week, then we're in a better place than we were last week, you know. So I do want to end today with a little piece of how do you take this lesson on celebration and strength? How do you take it home to your family or to your friends this week? So there's this awesome story that I really like in the Gospel of Luke. It's a parable Jesus tells, Luke 16. And in verse 9, Jesus sums up the parable, and he says, so use your worldly wealth to gain friends. It's this really interesting statement from Jesus that money, you know, can't always give us the things it promises us. But if you can use money to make space for some friendships, then that's money well spent. And I found that out for myself when I was living in Mexico. I lived in Mexico, and I'd throw these little tiny, you know, get-togethers with another family or two or three families. But the very last night I was in Mexico, I'd lived there for a little more than 2 years, and I threw this big party for about 100 people. Everybody that I really cared about in town, I went around and invited them to this party. And we got to celebrate just how good God had blessed our lives. And that involved me and my best friend in Mexico going to this, like, Mexican slaughterhouse, all these pigs hanging on the wall, and, like, picking out a pig and buying it with cash. Like, they're in the slaughterhouse. It was a weird experience. And then a couple of my buddies showed me how to, like, roast it in these big metal boxes. Well, I footed the bill for the whole party. So, like, I bought food for all 100 people, and it wasn't super expensive the way we did it, but it was $200 or $300, I think, at the time. And that was a lot of money to me at the time. It's still a lot of money, but I never, ever once have looked back and thought, oh, man, I wish I had that money. Like, always I look back on that night and think, what a great use of the time and the money to have that great time with those people. And I almost wish I would have not been so cheap earlier and would have hosted bigger things more often, you know, to have more experiences like that. If you're here today, and you're like me, and you're kind of naturally frugal or cheap, maybe would be a more legitimate way to put it. So if you're like that, then maybe you need to just get that excuse from Jesus, where Jesus says it's okay to spend your money to make space for good relationships. Now, there's some other people you need to be honest with yourself, and maybe you throw a party every other day, and you maybe need to reel that in or something, you know. But what I'm saying is this week, what if you said, I'm going to use some time and some of my resources, and I'm going to celebrate something that God did in my life with other people. I think that'd be a good use of your time. One more little plug. You know, our small groups do a lot of things, a lot of good stuff. And I'm in one of our men's groups, and we talk about the Bible every week. We set goals. Great things are happening. But I would say that my favorite part, I think the best thing we did in 2016, was that we took about 30 or so of us went camping at Micah's parents' land. And so this is a picture of us camping, and nothing special happened. You know, there wasn't anything miraculous, but it was just a group of guys hanging out for the weekend. And over that night, guys started talking about, like, I've never had an experience like this where there's a bunch of guys having fun together, and we're having a good time, and we're talking, but there's no alcohol, there's no drugs taking you know, any part of this. And so those guys having that connection that we could really have a good time together and build those friendships, it mattered. And it was worth the time that it took to go camping. Like, that was a good use of our time. So you're here today and you might think, like, well, the takeaway for today's sermon is to go have a party or to go camping. And maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, like, oh, that sounds nice, but I'm not going to do it. Like, I don't feel guilty enough, so I'm not going to go do it. Or so some of us are wired that way. Like, if I told you, like, oh, you need to sell everything you have and give to the poor, or you need to crawl on your hands and knees to Nevada or something, you know, like, you'd be like, okay, I need to do it. I feel bad. Sometimes the thing Jesus tells us to do is actually easy. It's not always. Sometimes the thing he tells us to do is the hardest thing ever. But sometimes the thing Jesus commands us to do is easy or fun. It's just as important to be obedient to Jesus in those moments as it is in the hard moments. Don't just do the hard things for God. Do everything God tells you to do. And one of the things God tells us to do is to celebrate. It's an important part of our community together. So if you feel like, God, I want to do something for you this week, why don't you call some other people in this room or talk to them right after service and say, let's get together and let's have a joyful time thanking God for what he's done for us.
Jake?
Yeah.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we're going to pray in just a second, but, you know, it just dawned on me that it would be very nice. We applaud lots of things. I think it would be very nice just as we invite the worship team to come up, just to invite the crowd to give God a standing ovation.
Yes,
he
I
has
agree.
Done this. All right.
There's nothing else we have to say. God, I thank you for how good you are. And God, we want to worship you right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.